Good news! The pilgrimage to Chartres, France survives the COVID pandemic and is roaring back. Not so good news out of Italy, however, as Italy prepares to vote on a new law that would criminalize the Catholic Church's moral theology. Meanwhile, Pope Francis sends a handwritten letter in Spanish praising Father Jimmy Martin, who, according to Pope Francis, is a priest who imitates God. Meanwhile, back in the real world, the U.S. bishops face persecution from the Biden administration. Senator Josh Hawley reports the entire country of Canada for violations of religious freedom. And Archbishop Vigano is attacked again, this time by his own. All that and more tonight from the editor's desk. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Mack coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper. Quick programming note tonight. Next week, we will be in New York for the Roman Forum Conference. Really excited about this. Normally, this is held in Italy, but due to the fact that Italy has gone crazy over COVID like everybody else in Europe, it's been canceled last year, and this year it's coming back and be in the States on Long Island. So all next week, the talks from that conference will be available at remnant-tv.com. And then my own talk, which will double as next week's editor's desk, I guess, will be shot from Long Island. It'll air on Thursday, and it will also be available on YouTube, right? That's the lineup. Okay, so stay tuned for that next week. Speaking of comebacks, I got some great news. The Chartres pilgrimage, Paris to Chartres walking pilgrimage, is coming back. Now, I know a lot of you have been asking about this, and of course, I'm the U.S. coordinator for that three-day event in France. We've been doing it for about 30 years, and I just spoke yesterday to one of the organizers, a good friend of mine, and I'm happy to announce that the Chartres pilgrimage is going to be built back better than ever next year. Lots of new things are going to happen, a really exciting plan that, of course, I can't divulge anything about it now other than to hint that it's going to have the Chartres pilgrimage, because of what's going to happen next year, it's going to have a massive, massive impact, not only on the church in France, but also on politics in France. It's been doing over the years. So thank God for that. Chartres pilgrimage is back. Now, the natural question, I'm sure lots of you who'd want to join us, join the U.S. chapters, we're going to have several chapters next year because this thing is going to be huge. The natural question would be, what about COVID? What about the vaccination? Is the crazy going to be over by then? I don't know that. But the AP now is reporting, with all this crazy mandating, forcing, intimidating, bullying people to get vaccinated going on over here, the AP quietly reported that the EU is opening to U.S. travelers, non-essential travel, regardless now, get this, regardless of vaccination status. This is really good news. Now, some EU countries obviously may require, a negative COVID test to be taken within 72 hours of flying or whatever. But the decision now, this decision, clears the way for U.S. travelers, again, regardless of vaccination status, with the mandatory quarantines now becoming a thing of the past. It's pretty exciting,
Yeah. Great.
And when it comes to the Chartres pilgrimage, I feel like it's really providential. That's a major source of grace, that pilgrimage. People make fun of us because we're always promoting the Unite the Clans thing. Well, where do you think we got the Unite the Clans thing? It's from the pilgrimage. 30 years of the clans, quote-unquote, Catholic families, Catholic organizations from all over the world, literally all over the world, gathering at Paris every Pentecost weekend and walking to Chartres. That's where it's been working. It has already, the Unite the Clans has already been working for an awful long time. So I think all of a sudden that the possibility of this coming back next year is really grace, is a grace-filled possibility and opportunity. So make sure you keep that in your prayers. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. And at the same time, be grateful for the fact that we're going to France and not the Philippines, where a madman is in charge.
Get vaccinated or I'll have you jailed. You get vaccinated. Otherwise, I will order all the village heads to have a tally of all people who refuse to get vaccinated. Because if not, I will have them injected with ivermectin, which is intended for pigs.
This guy is... Isn't it funny how many little Adolf Hitlers are popping up as a result of COVID as we go into the Great Reset? And he's going to lock up his people and he's going to inject them if they don't do what he says. And I have a question for you. Those of you who are still out there, trashing the Catholic Church and the Catholic countries, the Christian confessional states, you think any of this was going on back in the bad old days of the Spanish Inquisition? What's going on? This is the Enlightenment? This is the great free society? You think the Catholic countries ever treated their people like this?
Served. Okay, yeah. And then you got that gathering on June the 6th.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you're under arrest for.
Yes. The springtime of the Enlightenment, the post-Christian glory days. Isn't it fun being free? And let's not forget, Canada's Justin Trudeau tops the list of enthusiasts for implementing the Great Reset globally. So the whole world soon will be able to enjoy the equity like they have up there in Canada right now. You know, it's no wonder that Senator Josh Hawley, who's really emerging as a fantastic, you know, ray of hope in the swamp, it's no wonder that he just last week sent a letter, you know, urging the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom to add Canada to its watch list. Basically, he turned Canada in for religious freedom violations. It's just incredible what's going on with how they're using COVID to get all this done. It's just amazing. People still think it's about, you know, taking care of you and not sure you don't get sick. And yeah. You really got to wonder. Meanwhile, over in Italy now, even the hapless Vatican is kind of in a panic. They're begging the Italian Senate to reconsider what they call the Zan Bill, which if it's approved, would add homophobia. And you know how they define homophobia. It will add homophobia to the list of offenses currently prosecuted as hate crimes in Italy. You know what that means? If this happens, this means that Catholic doctors, priests, parents, teachers, they're all going to be fined or even jailed for upholding the church's teaching on sexuality and morality on marriage in formerly Catholic Italy. Well played, Vatican II. Well played, Francis. This is fantastic. I know why you're over there worrying about global warming and climate change. The entire Catholic country of Italy is going to turn into a gulag where it's going to lock everybody up, including your own priests and cardinals. And Francis is just freaking out about climate change still. And you can't make this stuff up. And of course, Italy's Jesuit-trained neo-Catholic prime minister, Mario Draghi, is basically telling the Vatican now to shut up and stay out of politics when it comes to this new bill. He's a practicing Catholic. And meanwhile, again, here in the U.S., the American Catholic bishops are entering into now a standoff period with the White House over desecration of the Eucharist by supposedly Catholic politicians.
All right, late last week, a California Democrat, U.S. Congressman Jared Huffman, suggested the Catholic Church should lose their tax-exempt status. What was the reason? Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops on Friday voted 168-55 to proceed with a draft document on the meaning of the Eucharist in the life of the Church. When finalized, this document may make it the Church's official policy to allow bishops to deny the Eucharist to politicians who support abortion. In response, Congressman Huffman tweeted, quote, "If they're going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order," end quote. But he wasn't alone. 59 other House Democrats who identify as Catholics signed a letter complaining about the bishop's decision.
You know, and this is just the beginning. I mean, if you think the Biden administration is going to just leave it at the level of removing the church's tax-exempt status, you just haven't been paying attention. This is the beginning of full-on persecution of the church. And this great reset that we keep talking about with its push for equity is all about eradicating the church's moral law from the face of the earth. That's why when people say it's a conspiracy theory or Remnant TV should stay out of politics, the Great Reset is a lot more than politics. It's a religion, and more importantly, it's a totalitarian regime that's going to shut you down if you're a Catholic. It's going to shut down the Catholic Church. It has to, because the Church is teaching on morality and sexuality and the family. This is not equity. This is not good. This is not fair, according to the Great Reset people. The Church's laws against abortion and contraception, they are responsible for what, according to Bill Gates? They're responsible for climate change. The Church is responsible for millions. We're going to die because of the family size and its position, its intransigent position on contraception, against contraception, you see, and abortion. You see, friends, these people aren't fooling around. They want to criminalize the Catholic Church globally. And they've been at this for a long time. What they had to do first was water it all down so nobody cares. I got a letter from a friend over in Ireland who's been running a little chapel in his basement, trying to let people and his friends and family go to Mass during COVID. And he said the saddest thing, nobody in Ireland cares that they lost the Mass over the past 15 months. Very few people even care. And that's thanks to the springtime of Vatican II. You see, the thing that traditionalists have been going after for 50 years. And then just today, we learned that Pope Francis sent a handwritten letter in Spanish, his native language, a letter of encouragement to the activist priest, Father James Martin, another Jesuit, and this was on the eve of the Outreach 221 LGBT Catholic Ministry Conference, which took place yesterday, Saturday, with Jimmy Martin as the main organizer. Francis got nothing better to do than send handwritten letters to Father Jimmy Martin, congratulating him on this sort of thing? Francis writes, quote, I see that you are continually seeking to imitate this style of God. You are a priest for all men and all women, says Francis. We'll throw that up on the screen. Jimmy Martin, a man for all seasons, one who looks like God, according to Francis. The hand of God. Neo-Catholics, you getting this? Does this bother you at all? Now, do you think that maybe the traditional Catholics have had a point over the years when you see where this is going? I'm serious question. Y'all have been calling us rad, trad, extremists. You've been doing this forever. You think it's so cute. You go on your little blogs, call us rad, trads. We're more Catholic than the Pope and all that. Remember you doing that? Enjoying that still? You think maybe you want to reconsider any of that? Because what do you think now? I mean, will the bishops of the United States of America, will they even be able, do they even have they retained the power, the moral authority, even to stand up to this ridiculous White House in defense of Christ in the Eucharist? You think they do? Do you think they still have that authority? They don't seem to think they do. Joe Biden certainly doesn't think they do. Here's what he said about that.
The Catholic bishops are moving on this resolution that would prevent you and others who've supported abortion from receiving communion. Are you concerned about the rift in the Catholic Church, and how do you feel personally about that?
That's a private matter, and I don't think that's going to happen. Thank you.
Now let's slow down a little bit. It's easy to make fun of Joe, isn't it? But isn't Joe kind of a victim of this nonsense too? This whole Second Vatican Council revolution in the Catholic Church? He doesn't know what he's supposed to believe. You know why? Because no one's been telling him what to believe from the pulpit for the past five decades or so. So don't get mad at Joe. He's an idiot, yeah, but don't get mad at Joe. He's just a neo-Catholic who got the Vatican's message over the past 50 years, it's most of his life, that it really doesn't matter what Catholics believe, that it doesn't matter anymore. You don't have to be Catholic. You know, you can back gay unions as Joe has done. Joe has conducted gay marriages. You can do that. Just ask the Pope's personal friend, Father Jimmy Martin, about gay unions. He's all for it. The Pope is sending him personal letters, handwritten letters in Spanish, congratulating him for it. He's all over with this stuff, Martin is. Joe Biden knows that the Catholics mustn't obsess over abortion and homosexuality. That's exactly what he's doing. He's not obsessing over abortion, is he? That's why he wants to go to communion. He's not obsessing over it. And who told him not to obsess over homosexuality and abortion? The Holy Father. Pope Francis told him that. He kicked off his entire pontificate by reminding Catholics not to obsess over moral issues like abortion. And you're blaming Biden for this? Catholics can be pro-abortion and still go to communion. Biden, Kerry, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi, they've been doing it for years. Nobody said anything. Nobody stopped them. You know, and now the Pope, not just Francis, but previous popes since the council, they've come out and told the world, told the little Joey Bidens of the world and Nancy Pelosi's of the world, that hell probably doesn't even exist. And if it does, nobody's in it. So at the end of the day, friends, what the hell difference does it make what we believe as Catholics? What is it? Who cares? Popes don't seem to care. If hell doesn't exist and nobody's in it, who cares? What's the point of these rules? They're arbitrary and ridiculous. All you got to do is love, love, love. Be merciful. Love. The rules are archaic. If hell doesn't exist, they're ridiculous. So guess what? Guess what? All of those chickens are coming home to roost right now. And the neo-Catholics, sorry, you got a decision to make. What's it going to be? Are you going to dump Catholic dogma, infallibly defined dogma of the church, infallibly defined moral theology? Are you going to dump it? Or are you going to face persecution? Because that's basically where we're coming now, after 50 years of the springtime of Vatican II. That's basically where we're at right now. Just ask our friends in Italy, in France. That's where they're at. And there's the guy in white, the cavalry is not coming, because just last Wednesday, Pope Francis warned once again against Christians who cling to what he calls past traditions and who do not accept the freedom the gospel offers. And you can recognize these problem Catholics, these problem Christians, by their inflexibility. That means sticking to the rules of the church, to the Ten Commandments, to natural law, to the laws of the church. You stick to those too much, and you're inflexible. So says the Pope. This has got to be the first time in the history of the papacy, by the way, that we have a pope doing this kind of thing, right?
Yes, coming after good Catholics.
Just coming after people who are following the rules. That's inflexible. He's got to do something about that. This is like this. He's obsessed. He's obsessed with people who are following the rules now. He's like Biden and Pelosi obsessing over January 6th, God knows why, while all the cities in America are burning down and everybody's shooting themselves to death every day, mass shooting in cities like Chicago, and they're still worried about January 6th, that deadly insurrection. Francis, friends, is the same way. Only we are the ones he's worried about. He's obsessed with us. Like Hitler was obsessed with the Eastern Front. And we all know how that ended up. Hitler stuck a gun in his mouth just a couple of days ago. Francis comes out again, with the, this time with the cameras rolling.
Ma è una chiesa viva, 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 no? Ci sono dei gruppi forse tradizionalisti, ma tutti in Vaticano ce ne sono. Questo si guarisce, no?
We are a disease, and Francis is the cure. Francis is the healer. And our disease is fidelity to the teaching of the church. Now, we got to admit it. I admit this, that Francis has got a problem on his hands. We talked about this last time. He has to hand the Catholic Church over to his buddies, the lunatics of Davos. And he's got a problem. It's a rapidly expanding cross-section of Catholics all over the world who are done with this. Who are done with this pope of climate change and great resets and new world orders. They're simply done with it. Yeah. And now we're going to start locking Catholics up in Italy for their fidelity to the church's moral teaching. Hey, Francis, who are you to judge? Those chickens are coming home to roost right there on your own doorstep. So you see, it's not just our souls, friends, as serious as that's been with the watered-down liturgy and the stupid catechisms and the scandals and all. It's not just our souls the traditional Catholics have been worried about. It's the physical well-being of our children that is threatened now, directly threatened by the Church of Vatican II's surrender to the world. We don't have any protection anymore. You can't appeal to the Church's moral authority anymore, the moral law anymore. You can't hide behind the Church's law. Because the church herself is telling the media rigid Christians are the problem. So what do we have to do? We got to speak up. We got to speak up right now before the whole church is thrown into the gulag. And Francis, The chaplain of the New World Order is processed through the streets of that New World Order on the shoulders of the lunatics of Davos, because that's what they all want to have happen here. We got to resist. And that brings me to Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, who's under attack now. As you all know, this is Francis's former apostolic nuncio to the United States. He spoke out, and now he's being attacked again. Not for turning Cardinal McCarrick into Mr. McCarrick, by the way, but for opposing forced vaccinations. For opposing the Great Reset. His critics are smearing him right now, saying that he might have a gay-friendly ghostwriter, and he's a conspiracy theorist, and he has a negative tone. Bad tone. They don't like his tone. And, of course, he harbors extreme views. Because these guys, these critics, they actually think that the Great Reset is some conspiracy theory. It's not going to actually happen. They think it's a conspiracy theory rather than a war on God, which is exactly what it is, a war on God. Think about that for a minute. Not one of these guys, these new enlightened thinkers of the great Davos Reset, not one of these guys has ever mentioned God once. I mean, even Adolf Hitler paid lip service to God. Freemasons pay lip service to God. Communists do. Muslims do. The Taliban did. But not the lunatics at Davos. See, because technology is their God. They can do whatever the heck they want. The problem here is that they have the full support of Pope Francis. That is the crisis. And Archbishop Vigano stands directly in their path right now. And they're bringing the wrath of hell against this man. Because he's been too successful in taking his warnings about what they are up to all the way to the top of the world. Yeah, to the Vatican. The Vatican wasn't listening. So Archbishop Vigano took it to the princes of this world, to the President of the United States, for heaven's sakes. You'll remember this tweet. And when it comes to the Great Reset of Vatican II, Archbishop Vigano has raised the profile of the counter-revolution, the Catholic counter-revolution, like no one else has, because of his stature in the church. One of the most powerful men in the church as recently as 2016. Not 2050, not 1950, but 2016. Because up until 2016, he was the Vatican's top diplomat. You know what that means? That means he knows all the dirty little secrets. And that's why they're after him. That's why he's the most effective critic Francis has ever had to face. That's why he knows these guys inside and out, and they're afraid of him. The Vatican fears one Vigano more than an army of bloggers. You know that. And now his Catholic critics, old friends of his, are putting the world on notice that they don't like Vigano's tone again. After all that's happened, after all the young men, the seminarians, even the kids, sexually abused by these monsters in Roman collars and then protected by bishops and even popes, these critics don't like Vigano's tone. Isn't that too bad? I have been waiting my entire life for a churchman to find just that tone, the tone of Vigano. I've had enough of the Church of Accompaniment tone, and I think you have too. It sounds something like this.
Having been a part of the conclave that elected this extraordinary pope, and having been asked by him to work on a number of programs with him, to work closely with him, having the pope come here becomes a very beautiful personal thing for me.
I think Archbishop Vigano is responsible for getting rid of that clown, too, isn't he? Pretty much. I believe so. Now, here's the thing, friends, and I'll close on this. I met Archbishop Vigano personally in Munich back in January 2020. It's how my 2020 started out, meeting this amazing man. He doesn't sound like that guy that we just played. You know why? Because Archbishop Vigano is a man. Isn't that nice? It's nice when our archbishops are men, isn't it? And not only is he a man, but he's a brilliant and holy man. And I got the blessing from this saintly man on that very day. Since then, now, since this blessing here was going on and we parted company, I have been working with him on a regular basis by email and telephone. That means we talk on the telephone. And I can tell you, because they're saying there's a ghostwriter who Vigano's not his real guy, and there's a Vigano 1 and a Vigano 2 and all this. I can tell you from personal experience, on a week-to-week basis, the Vigano that I know personally is the exact same Vigano that I publish on a regular basis in the pages of The Remnant. So please, enough with the ghostwriter nonsense. Enough with the attacks on Vigano. Whether you're Catholic or not, I would say stand with this guy because he's making the Great Reset, the New World Order, the Vatican very uncomfortable. He's not going anywhere. I just talked to him a couple days ago. At 80 years old, he's stronger than a horse and fighting harder than ever. Stand with him. And if you're out there right now, one of these clowns who's attacking Archbishop Vigano right now, for God's sake and the sake of our children and the sake of our church, knock it off. What are you doing? Just stop it. You don't like his tone? You don't like what he's doing? Go find somebody else. There are plenty of other guys out there wearing the same clothes who will never ruffle any feathers. And they got a fantastic little tone. So go hang out with them. But leave Vigano alone. Leave him alone. And for the rest of us, friends, do not be discouraged by this. It's just a few people. Any attack on Vigano right now is going to hit the news. It's going to seem like a big deal. You know why? Because he's a big deal. And the media, the Vatican, the President of the United States now, they want to see critics like this fall. Critics like Vigano going after the Great Reset. They want to see him fall. Do not be discouraged by this. Just out here tonight to tell you, to remind you, all is well. The clans are uniting. This is not a big deal. We're going to move past it and keep on fighting. So, yeah, unite the clans. We got work to do. Thank you very much for listening, friends. I'm Michael Matt. Pray for Bishop Archbishop Vigano. Pray for him that he keeps on doing what he's doing because we really, really need him right now. Again, thanks so much. And don't forget, next week, Long Island, remnant-tv.com for the entire Roman Forum Conference. God bless you, and we'll see you then.